wondering if you prayed over the hymn as you sang. We did make it a suggestion, and we would certainly reiterate the words, "O send thy Spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch my eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, that in thy book revealed I see thee, Lord." Turning to Revelation chapter 1, we did a series on the seven churches and the message of Christ to the seven churches. And when we were going through that series, we did mark that there are titles of Christ or descriptions of Christ given throughout. In every letter, right at the start of each letter, Jesus Christ reveals himself in a certain way. And we said we might come back to this, so I feel led to come back to it, whether we deal with it one by one or what, we'll see how the Lord leads us. But as I thought of the very first one and began to study, there was so much really in an introduction to this that we didn't deal with in the previous series that we did from chapter 1 that I feel is important just to set before us. And I thought I would give a brief introduction from chapter 1, come straight to the first title in chapter 2 and verse 7, I think it is. But I think we need to spend just a couple of weeks in the introductory marks and think about what the Savior is saying as he begins to address the seven churches and address you and I through them and this whole book that comes to us from the Lord. So may the Spirit be pleased to come and open our eyes. Revelation 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. We'll not be looking at all the chapter, but we did read it all. I was tempted to just read part of it, but as we'll see today, there's a blessing for you as we read the scriptures, and I trust that you've received that blessing even already. The very first word of the book, Apocalypsis, is translated here into our English as the Revelation, and it sets the scene for all that is to follow. The word means an uncovering of something hidden, the making known of what man could not find out for himself. It's plain that the book is not of human origin. It's not of human wisdom. It's a revelation. It's something that God himself is revealing. And it is particularly the revelation of Jesus Christ, as the opening line of the book declares. Here is a book where Jesus Christ reveals himself to his people. And he is revealing matters of immense importance, some things that were for the people of that day. For example, the seven churches, there were some immediate things to address there. And then some things that were shortly to come to pass and in the future. And that makes this book a most interesting part of the Bible. Because Christ is revealing, he's uncovering many things which are hidden. He is lifting the veil from that which was previously kept secret. And this, of course, excites curiosity. Human nature is of such a makeup that we love to have the secrets and the mysteries revealed to us. And this is so in everyday life. Men labor to extract from nature her secrets, and have in some cases spent a lifetime to discover deep mysteries. And some have even given their lives to discover the mysteries of life. And when great discoveries are made, it brings joy and it brings excitement in the announcing of these things and to many who hear them announced. Recently, we had that phenomena in the sky that some of you took note of, the northern lights, the Aurora Borealis, I think it's called. And some of you went out to view it at night, and it is a phenomena, or a phenomenon. And we like to see these things, and they are mysterious, things that we don't see every day. The astronomer, in his midnight vigils and lifelong calculations, the naturalist, in his toilsome explorations from the snowy tops of the Himalayas to the deepest depths of the ocean, the traveler in the unknown lands of savage tribes, the archaeologist in his painstaking excavation of sites, these are all examples of this intense desire for revelation. People want things revealed. And is this not also true that men have great eagerness and excitement about the future, and especially the Lord's dear people, wanting to know the meaning of prophecy, wanting to have unfolded to them that the mysteries and the knowledge that the apostle talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Of course, often when they do delve into these things, they come up with some very absurd notions and absurd ideas, and nothing really to do with the Bible. It's just an opinion. And it would amaze you, some of the things that people say as they begin to predict the future. But I want to tell you, here's a revelation which is most glorious and most impressive, for it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is pleased in a most wonderful way to disclose to us the general character of his purpose and future dealings with our world, and of course the church in their changes through the ages. The opening phrase also indicates that this wonderful book has wonderful things to reveal about Christ. It's not only the revelation of Jesus Christ in that he is speaking, he is revealing things, but it is indeed the revelation of Jesus Christ. For many of the things that are being revealed are about him, that belong to him, and not least in importance, the seven titles or descriptions that are given in the seven letters of chapter 2 and chapter 3, where the Lord reveals himself under certain names. And we want, in due process, to look at these names used by the Savior when writing to the churches. But what I want to do this morning, and in the will of God next week, is just to back up a little bit and back up into this first chapter. For there are important truths to highlight and underscore. And these truths are most important as we introduce, or as Christ introduces himself to the seven churches. And as this book is introduced in its entirety. For really, the whole book of the Revelation is a letter that was written to the seven churches and to you and I, that we might profit from it. So the first thing, and there's probably about seven of these things that I want to mention. We're going to try and go through the first two today. But the first thing is this: there's a blessing in the reading and the study of this book. And child of God, I want you to see that. I want you to see the importance attached to just simply reading this book. And going a little bit further, as the text will tell us here, just more than reading. Look at verse 3. Blessed or happy is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now this is the first of seven Beatitudes that are scattered through the book. We did a study in the Beatitudes that we have in the Gospel of Matthew some months ago. Well, there are seven Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. And just so that you know where they are, let me give them to you. And these are blessings for you. These are Beatitudes that Christ is pronouncing for you. Might be a study to do in itself, but the first one is here: blessed is he that readeth. The second one is over in chapter 14 and verse 13. And it says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they will rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. What a blessing it is to die in the Lord. It's a happy thing, though we don't always view it that way. The third one is in chapter 16 and verse 15. Jesus is speaking about his coming again and how this will be sudden and unexpected. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So there's a joy for you that are looking for the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you watching for his return? The fourth one is in chapter 19 and verse 9. You can appreciate I can say very little about these because it's not the message for today. I'm just giving you where these Beatitudes are. Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. What a day that's going to be when the people of God, the whole body of Christ, the church of Christ, will sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you are one of the called ones, if you've been called to that supper, the Lord says here, you're blessed indeed, and so we are as we anticipate such a time. And then we have the fifth one in chapter 20. It's there in verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So here's another joy for the people of God. Here's another blessing that is being prescribed upon you. If you're saved, praise God, you will rise in the first resurrection, and that'll be a tremendous day. The other two are found in the final chapter of the book, chapter 22 and verse 7. Again, with reference to the coming of the Savior, he says, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So as the Lord comes, he wants you to walk in the ways of this book and obey what this book has to tell us. And the other one, the final one, is verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, the particular blessing in the first beatitude of Revelation is obtained through reading and meditating upon this book. Now, it is a great pity that there are many of God's people who, for whatever reason, they shy away, they turn away from the last 22 chapters of the Bible, which is, of course, this book. This blessing is given to encourage you to the reading of it, to the meditation in it. Now, undoubtedly, there is much language that is mysterious. You just need to read through the book and you'll see that to be so. There is much that is full of symbolism, but that is not to stop us from gleaning through the pages of Revelation. Jesus tells us there's a blessing to be enjoyed, a blessing to be experienced. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear, and they that keep the words. I trust that over the past number of Sabbaths, as we have been in the book, that you have been blessed, and that you have been challenged in many ways as we've looked at the seven churches and the messages that the Lord had for them. I have to say that in my study, I was blessed. And I always feel that if I'm blessed in the study, as I seek to bring the message, the congregation, many of them, if not all of them, will be blessed also. So the Lord has had things to say and things to challenge us about these weeks. I trust that that has taken place in your heart. Now, you notice that there's three words used here. Readeth, hear, and keep. And you want to mark them. You want to ponder them just for a little while. Our Savior tells us that it is a blessed and a beneficial thing to read this book. The word actually in the original indicates that we should read aloud. It's not always possible to do that. You may not always be in a place where you could actually read aloud the words of this book. But nonetheless, that's the thought. Having said that, the view here in the context is likely to the reading of it in church. He's writing to these churches. And we certainly see this. The book is going to be read in the seven churches of Asia Minor and has been read through the centuries in every faithful church as the Word of God has been preached from this book. We ought to read this book. We ought to read it publicly. We ought to read it privately. And in doing so, we're going to be blessed by God. The Spirit of the Lord will have wonderful things to fix upon our minds and hearts, especially surrounding the person and the work of his dear Son. We see wonderful things about Christ in the titles used in his writings to the seven churches. So we'll not go into them all, but you can read chapter 2 and 3, and you will see at the start of every letter, the Lord describes himself under various details. We go on to read about angelic creatures that worship the Lord and that cast their crowns at his feet. We see Christ as the only worthy one who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. We see him described as the lion of the tribe of Judah and as the lamb that was slain. We see him as the one who has redeemed us to God by his blood, who sits upon his eternal throne of glory and power. And you will learn in this book about his redemption, his exaltation, his dominion, his majesty, his glory. You're going to learn about his personal second coming again. You will learn about the eternal wrath and judgment of Christ, and also the beautiful garments that he gives to his redeemed people, and the provision he has made in everlasting bliss for his own. As you come to the end of the book, it speaks about heaven. And I tell you this, you can't help but be blessed when you read those details. And your cry will be, I hope it will be, as you read through the chapters, you will cry in the words of the hymn writer, more about Jesus would I know. I want to learn about Christ. I want Christ to be revealed to me. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this opening chapter has wonderful things, of course, to declare about Christ. We're not going to go into it in detail, wouldn't have time, but you did notice in verse 5, as this letter is coming from Christ, he's called the faithful witness, he's the first begotten of the dead, he's the prince of the kings of the earth, he's the one that has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to God and his Father. He is the one in verse 7 that's coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and those that pierced him, all the kindreds of the earth will wail because of him. We see him as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. We see him as the Almighty. Never you forget who this Christ is. He is the Almighty, a doctrine that's denied today, but Jesus Christ is Almighty God, and here he is called such. We see the vision that is given to John the Beloved as he turns to see who's speaking with him, and these glorious descriptions that we have there from verse 13 onwards. So you just mark what the Bible says here about his head and his eyes and his feet and his voice, and you want to read verse 13 to 18 to see those descriptions. So you ought to read this book, dear child of God, and receive the blessing that the Lord has designated for you. The Word of God is in its entirety is to be read by the Lord's people. Don't neglect any part of the Bible. I want to say that to every Christian here, if you're saved, don't neglect any part of the Bible. God has given all the Word from the first in to the last amen and all the words in between. He's given it in its entirety to his church, to his people. And therefore, you ought to read the Bible, all of it, every book, every chapter, every verse. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And you want to mark that. All Scripture is given by God. All Scripture is profitable. Even those parts that you find hard to understand and comprehend. Now, the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, more than any other book perhaps, uses the language of symbol and sign. And you're going to read about seven candlesticks, seven churches, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven thunders, seven vials, seven spirits, seven stars, and seven no mores. And I suppose you could also put in the seven beatitudes that I've mentioned. You're going to read about 24 elders sitting around the throne of God. And they are clothed in white raiment, and they have crowns of gold upon their head. You're going to read about four beasts, one like unto a lion, another a calf, another a man, and another of an eagle. Four horses are identified, white, red, black, and pale. We see the saints clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. We learn about a beast rising out of the sea, and this beast has seven heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns. It looks like a bear, looks like a leopard with bear's feet. It has a lion's mouth. And then you're going to learn about another beast that rises up out of the earth, who spake like a dragon and performed great wonders. We see Christ under the numerous titles, the lion, the lamb, Alpha, Omega, the descriptions that we've noted here in chapter 1, the descriptions that we will note in chapters 2 and 3 to the seven churches. We have beautiful and glorious descriptions of heaven given under the language of symbol. And you will read about thunderings, lightnings, earthquakes, hail, fire, blood, stars falling, locusts, scorpions with golden crowns, faces like a man, hair like a woman, teeth like lions, tails like scorpions. And you're going to ask the question, what does this all mean? It's full of metaphor. It's full of symbol. And so you might feel in your heart, I don't understand this. I can't comprehend all these descriptions. And the language is strange and it's mysterious, and therefore you are tempted not to go to this book. And you rarely turn to its pages. And I want to say that's a great pity. A great pity. What should you do? Well, ask the Lord. We should always be asking the Lord every time we come to the Bible, speak to me. Ask the Lord for help. Ask Him for wisdom. Ask Him for understanding. And He will. He'll answer that prayer. And He'll guide you through the sections of this book. And those parts of it that you really feel, I don't understand it, well, leave it for another time. And go on and enjoy the bits that you do understand. Because there's a blessing in the reading of this book. Or take a good commentary written by a good author and study it alongside the commentary, and you'll find that that is helpful too. Or go to the elders of the church. Go to your minister. Ask about the things that are written in the book of Revelation. And if they don't know, they'll try to find out for you. But don't neglect it. There will be hidden gems and golden nuggets to gather. Like what we read there. You see that last part of verse 5 where it says, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." You can't read a statement like that without being blessed. When you think of the work of the cross and you think of what Christ has done for you and how that He's washed you in His blood and how that He's made you, if you go on to read Kings and Priests unto God, that certainly will be a tremendous blessing to you. And then there are the messages to the seven churches, and I think we've profited from those as we've studied them one by one. You can think of chapter 9, and I'm just thinking of little gems that are just standing there for the picking, where we read about a great multitude which no man could number of all the nations, kindreds, and peoples and tongues of the world. And they're standing before the throne, they're before the Lamb, and they're clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. That's a beautiful description. You've got to be blessed when you read a line or a verse like that. We think of chapter 21 and verse 4. Has that not been a tremendous encouragement to you? I'm sure it has. How that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'm just talking about the little gems, the little nuggets here. As you do read, though there are parts you'll not understand, these are wonderful things that will fix themselves upon your mind and will be a blessing, as the Lord says. The fact that we are exhorted to read this book shows the high regard that Christ has put upon His word. The Bible is our only light. It is our only wisdom. It is our only instruction. Be found often in it. And please, do not neglect this book, this final book. The Holy Spirit, foreseeing that there would be a tendency to overlook this book, He directed John to write these words. "Blessed are they that readeth." He was instructed what to write down by the Savior Himself through the Spirit. No other book of the Bible has such a benediction attached to it. You ever think about that? Undoubtedly, there is untold blessing in the reading of every part of the Bible, and you're going to be blessed indeed. You're going to be fed in your soul. You're going to be uplifted in your heart. You're going to be thrilled with the great truths of the Bible and challenged by its exhortations and rebuked by its warnings. And I trust edified and built up in your faith as you read through the Bible. But this book, out of all the 66 books, is prefaced with a blessing. It's got a blessing attached to it. And that indicates that there is special importance connected with the book of Revelation. And a special blessing to be received as you read through it. The word "here" is also used. Just to mention again that there seems to be a definite thought here in the public reading of this book to God's people. You'll notice the language that is used. "He that readeth, they that hear." He that readeth, they that hear. I see the minister in the congregation here. "He that readeth, they that hear." The preacher is reading the word of God. The congregation is hearing the word of God. And so the congregation is saying, not just Ephesus or Smyrna or Pergamos or any of the other seven, but all the churches of God, to hear this book read to you, to hear it expounded to you, is a blessing to all who sit beneath its reading and exposition. So we are to be hearers of the word. Let this congregation ever hear the message of this book. let the Bible ever have the preeminence in our church services. There's not a service goes by but the Word of God is read. Let that always be the case. We give emphasis to the Bible in this church. We carry the Bible with us to the house of God. We encourage that. We want our people to open at the place that's going to be read. We want them to follow it as the Word of God is read. And as verses are turned to, we want to see them turning to those portions of the Word of God so that they become familiar with the Bible. And in your family too. Your children ought to have the Word of God read to them. Dear father, mother, we believe in the family altar. We believe in a designated time in the day where you sit as a family and the Word of God is at least read. For there's blessing in the reading of the Word of God. The blessing is to do with those who read, those that hear. But you'll see the third word, and importantly mentioned here, keep. Blessed are those that read, blessed are those that hear, blessed are those that keep. And that just means obedience. We're not to be hearers only, we're to be doers of the word. As the Lord speaks to us, we're to go and obey it. Our lives are to be governed and controlled by the revelation that God has given. He has so much to say to us. And he has had so much to say to us in these past weeks. As we've looked at the seven churches, we didn't take just 7 weeks. Some of the churches were spread over a couple of Lord's Day mornings. And the Lord has been speaking. Oh, for the grace, not just to hear the word, but to obey the word of God. What a tragedy if we neglected to obey Christ. What an awful thing to come to the house of God. This book is opened, it's read, it's expounded, and you just go away having heard, but not giving attention to the word of God, not heeding what it has to say. You'll miss the blessing. The blessing that the Lord is speaking about here. Obedience stands side by side with the word blessing in the scripture. And the Lord says, you are blessed if you read, hear, and keep or obey the words of this particular book of the Bible. We don't want to miss out on the blessing of God. The blessing that he has ordained. He has ordained it, you know, for individuals in this church. For you personally, who read and hear and keep the sayings of this book. The blessings that he has indeed ordained for your family, as you as a family gather together for the reading of the Word of God. The blessings that he has ordained in the church setting, you and I coming together here today. No wonder the Lord went on to emphasize the absolute necessity of hearing his word aright in all the letters that follow. Remember the phrase? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. If you've got ears, God wants you to hear. He wants you to listen. And then he wants you to obey. And so we will want to pray over every Bible reading. Every time we come in a personal fashion, just to sit and open the scriptures, whether we're reading from Revelation or some other book, we'll want to pray, Lord, speak to me. Lord, help me hear what you've got to say from my heart. And help me to obey the scriptures. You want to pray in that fashion. And every time that you come as a family and you gather there for the reading of the Word of God, you'll want to offer the same kind of prayer. Lord, speak to my home today. Speak to my children as they go out to school, as they go out wherever they're going that day. Speak to them from the Word of God and help them to hear it and help them to live by it and to obey the Lord. And every time you come and hear a sermon, you come to church in the Sabbath morning or the evening time or the prayer meeting, come with a prayer of heart. Lord, speak to me. And every time our conferences come by or our missionary weekend, the Word of God is opened and expounded. Lord, speak to me. Give me ears to hear. Give me discernment, understanding. Help me to take it in. Help me to apply it to my heart. Help me to obey it and then to know the blessing that undoubtedly will follow. Now, I have a second point. And many a preacher would go on and preach their second point. But I'm not going to do that. I think the first point has been enough for today. Just for you to realize. See this book that we have in our hands? And I'm referring to the last book. There's a blessing for you for you to read it, to hear it, and keep it. May the Lord help us to go out from this church to do just that, and to be blessed individually, blessed in our family, blessed in our church context, as we sit beneath the Word of God in its reading and also in its preaching. Let us pray.